football on Off the Ball.
I think Liverpool have won the transfer window, even if they don't get Isak. If they end up getting Isak, then they've blown everybody out of the water.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, we'll hear from both League of Ireland managers in Europe, Stephen Kenny and Stephen Bradley. We'll have the fallout from last night as Tottenham Hotspur suffered an agonising defeat on penalties to Paris Saint-Germain in the UEFA Super Cup. And how does Steve McManaman think Trent Alexander-Arnold will do at Real Madrid? But first today and to tonight's European action in the Europa Conference League. And Shamrock Rovers will have to come from behind if they are to progress to the playoff round and have a shot at league phase action. Rovers trail Kosovan side FK Balkany 1-0 from the first leg after Sunday Adetunji's second half strike last week in Kosovo. Graham Burke is back from injury in a big boost for the hosts, but the omission of Jack Byrne continues to dominate headlines as speculation of a rift between him and head coach Stephen Bradley persists. The Hoops faced something similar last season when they had to come from behind to beat Slovenian side NK Celje, and Bradley says that they won't be going gung-ho chasing goals early on.
It's not about scoring early, it's about playing the game, respecting what they're good at. And when the opportunities come, we take them. But it's not about, like I said, looking to go all out and score early on. That's not what we're about. It's about, like I said, being patient, understanding that they've got quality and respecting that, and when we get our moments to take them.
Croatian centre-half Ivica Batarello is Balkany's only absentee for tonight, having suffered an injury last week that has ruled him out of their trip to Dublin. Kick-off at Tallaght Stadium is at 8 o'clock. St Patrick's Athletic know that a 3-goal comeback away to Besiktas is unlikely, but it still will be a good test ahead of their crucial FAI Cup last 16 game at home to Shelburne on Sunday. The Turkish Giants took a 4-1 win away from Dublin last week thanks to a Tammy Abraham hat-trick and had their first league game of the season postponed last week. Pats were 3-0 winners over Sligo last Sunday thanks to a Mason Melia double. But Stephen Kenny could make wholesale changes ahead of the cup tie on Sunday. Zach Elbuzedi, Aidan Keane, Sean Hoare, Anto Breslin and Romal Parmer will all definitely miss the game through injury. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has added former Leicester City midfielder Wilfried Ndidi to their squad, but he is ineligible to make his debut tonight, whilst they have been continuously linked with making a move for Manchester United winger Jadon Sancho. There are more than 5 million comments in Sancho's latest Instagram post from Besiktas fans pleading for the England international to join their side. Aston Villa winger Leon Bailey is also of interest to the side, who finished fourth in the Turkish Super League last season. In what is sure to be a raucous atmosphere, manager Stephen Kenny says that his side needs to bring more intensity and physicality than they did last week.
They'll want to turn it on at home, full house or big crowd. They'll want to turn it on, they'll be really at it. From our point of view, we've got to match that, and we have a greater physicality and intensity than we've got to bring more of that for sure. Too passive in the first game. We've got to make sure that we do that and give ourselves a chance.
Kickoff in Istanbul is at 7 o'clock. Elsewhere in Europe tonight, Laren will have to turn a 3-goal deficit around if they are to defeat Portuguese side Santa Clara and book a possible reunion with Shamrock Rovers, providing they win their tie. Joey O'Brien and Shelburne will be keeping a close eye on events in Belfast as Linfield host Faroe side Vikingur at Windsor Park. The Blues trail 2-1 from the first leg, and if they manage to overcome that tie, they will meet Shelburne in a playoff for the Europa Conference League group stage football. Dundee United welcome Rapid Vienna to Tannadice, where the tie is level at 2-2, and Hibernian are 2-0 leaders going into the second leg of their tie with Partizan Belgrade at Easter Road. And Troy Parrots, AZ Alkmaar, take a 3-0 lead to Liechtenstein to take on FC Vaduz in the Conference League. Meanwhile, three Israeli teams will continue to play in Europe just over a week on from the death of Suleiman Al-Obeid, known as the Palestinian Pele, who was killed whilst waiting on aid by an Israeli attack in southern Gaza. Al-Obeid was 41 years old and survived by his wife and 5 children, and he scored more than 100 goals during his career. He earned 24 caps and scored twice, the Palestinian FA said, most memorably with a scissor kick against Yemen during the 2010 West Asian Football Federation Championship. Last night at the UEFA Super Cup, UEFA unfurled a banner ahead of the game: stop killing children, stop killing civilians, but failed to make any reference to Gaza or Palestine. Last week in European competition, Turkish sides Fenerbahce, Istanbul Basaksehir and Besiktas players wore t-shirts before the warm-ups bearing the slogans "Stop crimes against humanity" and "Enough is enough." Obaid's death adds to a growing toll of athletes lost in Gaza since the war began, with at least 662 sports people and their relatives reported to have been killed. The number of footballers killed or who died from starvation has reached 421, including 103 children, the PFA said. According to the Palestine Football Association, 288 sports facilities have been damaged or reduced to rubble across Gaza and the West Bank, from stadiums and training grounds to gyms and clubhouses. The vast majority, 268, were in Gaza, while 20 were in the West Bank, with about half serving football directly. Among the sites hit was the PFA's headquarters in Gaza during an Israeli air raid. Tonight, Maccabi Tel Aviv will play Hamar and Spartans in Serbia, Beitar Jerusalem will play Riga FC in Romania, and Maccabi Haifa will take on Rakov Częstochowa in Hungary. Tottenham manager Thomas Frank says he'll focus on the positives from his first competitive match in charge. Despite a loss to Champions League holders Paris Saint-Germain in the UEFA Super Cup in Udine last night, the game finished 2-2 after a late comeback from the French side, who eventually won on penalties 4-3. Frank praised his side's intensity, insisting there's plenty to be proud of in their performance.
Sometimes football is the smallest of margins, you know, they kept pushing and then the momentum and the momentum built it, and you know, you need to dig deep, but it's basically the next chance. It's not like they have three big chances before the goal is called, so small margins.
Meanwhile, Spurs say they're disgusted by the racist abuse directed towards their player, Matisse Tell, on social media after last night's defeat. Tell and Mickey van de Ven missed penalties in the shootout. In a statement, the club say they're working with the authorities to take the strongest possible action against any individual identified. Meanwhile, Paris Saint-Germain had only been back in training for less than a week after their exploits at the Club World Cup this summer. Boss Luis Enrique told Jules Breach of TNT Sports that his side were very lucky to win another title.
You did it the hard way, though.
Do you think we deserve that?
Do you?
For 80 minutes, I didn't deserve that. I think Tottenham deserved the winning the match, because we can feel that they were in form. They can feel that they have been training for 6 weeks. They played a great match. And we have been training only for 6 days. But sometimes football is unfair. And I have to say that we were very lucky. In the last 10 minutes, we could score 2 goals. And I have to say that my players had faith until the last minute, like our supporters. But football is unpredictable, and in that sense, I have to say that we were very lucky.
Troubled Sheffield Wednesday earned themselves an EFL Cup second-round clash with Leeds United by getting past Bolton on penalties. The tie finished 3-3 after 90 minutes. Birmingham City progressed with a 2-1 victory over Sheffield United. Leicester City suffered a surprise defeat to Huddersfield, while Barnsley edged Fleetwood, and Cheltenham Town got the better of Exeter to continue their cup runs. Six-time winners Manchester United will travel to Grimsby Town in the second round of the competition. Mansfield Town will take on Everton at their new stadium on Bromley Moor Dock. Wolves host West Ham, and Bournemouth face Brentford in 2-2 Premier League ties. The top flight teams involved in European competitions don't enter the draw until the third round.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous, and police will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes!
Oh, Jesus!
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
All right, folks, get your finger out and pit your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing, use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.
Liverpool boss Arne Slot has refused to comment on speculation linking them with the signing of Crystal Palace captain Mark Gahey.
No, because he's not our player, and unfortunately he was the captain of the team where we lost against last Sunday. So, no, if you want to have any talks about him, you should go to Palace, to Glasner, and ask him.
Reports suggest Liverpool are in talks with Palace, while it's understood the London club won't be considering any bids under £45 million for the England international. The Premier League champions start their season against Bournemouth tomorrow night. Meanwhile, Liverpool have reached an agreement with Parma to sign the Italian defender Giovanni Leone. The fee is believed to be in the region of £26 million plus add-ons. The 18-year-old is now expected to travel to Merseyside later today to agree personal terms and undergo medical. Richard Masters has broken his silence on Manchester City's legal dispute with the Premier League. The English Top Flight's chief executive has stated that any annoyance he may feel over the delay in reaching a decision in the case is irrelevant, and that he, along with everyone else, will have to be patient. In February 2023, the Premier League levelled more than 100 charges against City relating to alleged violations of its financial regulations and an alleged failure to cooperate with the ensuing investigation, and referred the issue to an independent commission. City have consistently and vehemently denied any misconduct. The case was heard by a commission from September to December last year, but no verdict has been published yet.
It's an independent judiciary, essentially. So once the allegations and charge have been put forward, they go before an independent panel, which is independently selected, and they are then in charge of the process and its timings. They hear the case, they decide the outcome, and we have no influence over that, over it or its timing. And that's right, if you think, from an independence point of view, that there is independent people making those decisions, and we just have to be wait. My frustration is irrelevant, really. I mean, I just have to wait, and legal processes rarely take less time than you anticipated, but we have to be patient.
Manchester United have confirmed their youngster Sekou Kone is conscious and stable in hospital after suffering a head injury last night. The club's under-21s game against Tamworth in the National League Cup was abandoned following the 19-year-old's injury. Kone was treated on the pitch for around 15 minutes before being taken to hospital. Granit Xhaka has been named Sunderland's captain for the upcoming Premier League season. The former Arsenal skipper leads the club for their first campaign back in the top flight since 2017. Sunderland start their season on Saturday at home to West Ham. Meanwhile, former Liverpool and Real Madrid star Steve McManaman has had his say on Trent Alexander-Arnold's decision to leave Liverpool for Real Madrid. McManaman left Liverpool for the Spanish capital back in 1999 and went on to win two league titles and two Champions League with Los Blancos. On last night's Off the Ball, McManaman told Owen Sheehan that Liverpool fans will eventually welcome him back to the club in the future.
He'll be treated like a hero, like he should be when he comes back in the future. You cannot stop him from wanting to see what the world's like, play in a different country, play with different people, sense a different atmosphere, learn a different lifestyle, learn a different culture, learn a different language. I understand the emotive issue. People don't like players leaving their club, especially when they've won it. But he's won every single trophy with Liverpool. And you can't deny him the opportunity of going to try new things and experience, you know, a new lifestyle. You know, once you get to 33, 34, your football career is coming to an end. So you have to grasp every opportunity if you can, you feel that it will make you a better person. He might win, he might be successful at Real Madrid. It's hard. But you know what? He'll probably benefit from the experience in the future when he's sitting as a 45-year-old or a 50-year-old and people are not interested in him. Then he's got the memories of what he did. And I certainly think it's the right move. But I would say that because I've done it. But you know, people leave because they need to feel a buzz again. They need an experience and they need to grow. And I think that's perfect for Trent.
Definitely, but also
I don't think it was anything to do with money and things like that. Liverpool pay incredibly well, and they would have given him a monumental contract. And of course, he's got off-field commercial opportunities with boot deals, etc., etc. So it's never a money issue. Not now. It may have been 15, 20 years ago, but it's not now. Not with the very, very best. So that's out the way. It's just an experience. It's just to go and do something and try something completely different.
In your experience, does the relationship with the Liverpool fans tend to thaw over the following decade? So when he is 45, 50. Will he go back to Anfield and get a better reception than he did at the end of last season?
Listen, yeah, I mean, it was the reception he received when he came, I think it was the Arsenal game, I thought it was awful. And it was better the last game of the season, with, the reception he should have got. You know, people forget. You know, Luis Suarez came and went after 4 years, and everybody adored him at the time until he came back with Barcelona. You know, and then this lad's been at the club for 20 years and done everything and never said a bad word about anything, and then people can boo him. So I understand why, but I think people, you know, it will thaw. You know, the lot of superstars who have played at Liverpool have all played in, you know, Mo's played in three countries. Virgil's played in three or four countries. They've all played for three or four different teams. So, you know, you go back to the history of Steven Gerrard, who had his career at Liverpool but went to LA Galaxy. Kenny Dalglish had a number of clubs. Ian Rush had a number of clubs. John Barnes did. So you have to remember that. And I think Liverpool fans will remember it in the end. And, you know, he'll be treated like a hero, like he should be, when he comes back in the future.
Now, to hear more conversations like that, you can search for that podcast wherever you get your pods or on the Go Loud app. And to celebrate the return of our Premier League commentaries this coming Sunday, you can catch all of our football coverage for absolutely free. This weekend, we will have live comms of Manchester United's opener with Arsenal and Keith Andrews' first Premier League game in charge of Brentford as they travel to the City Ground to take on Nottingham Forest on Off the Ball Sunday from 1 o'clock. So this week on Off the Ball, we've been trolling through the archives and serving up the very best of John Giles' contributions over the 23 years he has been on the show. It's John's retirement week this week, so in your OTB football podcast feeds or wherever you get your podcasts, you'll be able to find the very best content over an extraordinary broadcasting career, from his TV work with Liam Brady and Eamon Dunphy, to his playing career with Billy Bremner and Jack Charlton, and to his time with Ireland playing against some of the world's very best. Everything you can think of is waiting there for you. So just search from the archive John Giles and enjoy. That is about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.